we know of the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, is drawn almost exclusively from the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel and the first two chapters of Matthew's Gospel. Matthew, of course, tells us about the wise men, which is the story of Epiphany, which technically is on next Saturday, which you and I know are going to celebrate as of July, the day following on next Sunday. So mainly what we know as the Christmas story is found in Luke and Matthew. But I wonder if you ever ask the question, when were those two accounts actually written down? Most New Testament scholars agree that the first gospel to be written down was that of Mark, probably in the late 60s AD. So you're talking about 35 years or so after Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. The reason for it being written down was basically that witnesses to those events in Jesus' life were either dying or buried, sadly dying from the persecution of Christians. So Mark put pen to paper, slightly pen to papyrus, not fingers to keyboard, of course. but Mark's gospel has no birth account. There's no story of Christmas. The only verses of it here begins the gospel of the good news of Jesus. On the second Sunday night, you would have heard those first eight verses read. Then Mark goes straight into the ministry of John the Baptist. Again, most New Testament scholars agree that Matthew and Luke use Mark's gospel as the framework for their own gospels. All three have the same. Synopsis, and so known as a synoptic gospel. Matthew and Luke often abbreviate what appears in Mark, but they add teaching material, which is usually suggested comes from a source called Q, the required source in German, plus their own material, have stuff peculiar to Matthew, stuff peculiar to Luke. And those gospels are usually dated in the late 70s. John's gospel would be mentioned probably in the 90s. Now, there are letters of Paul, such as Galatians, which we heard a short section this morning, although written after the events described in the four gospels. Hence, they come in our New Testament after the gospels and after the next of the gospels, then you get the gospels. Were actually written down before the gospels. Thought about that. Galatians, probably one of the earliest letters, was probably written about 48 or 49 AD, or possibly the early 50s, scholars debated. This is what makes those few verses, those four verses of Corinthians from Galatians, chapter 4, so fascinating. Our short second reading today is probably the first written of what we call the Christmas story. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Christmas story in about one sentence, but the first real written record about 3 decades earlier than the gospel, which we are sent more familiar with, which obviously also have a lot. Paul had no written gospel to read, but he clearly knew of the birth of Jesus, of God taking human form, incarnation, and being born of a woman, who of course we now know as Mary. Yes, the story had been passed on to him as it was in the early church, by what is known as oral tradition. Story of and more specifically, the birth narrative we have in Luke's Gospel came from Mary herself. Did you notice in that reading from Luke, the Gospel reading, we're told that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. It's almost as if she thought she remembered what happened at the birth of Jesus and recounted it to Luke some decades later. We have the story, we know the Christmas story, but it might have to ask the question, why did God allow his divine Son to take human form and to be born of a woman, as is described there in Galatians? Well, the answer, two answers very different, similar to my question, can be found both in the Galatians passage and in the Gospel reading. And the answers to the question give us two titles which we rightly use for Jesus. Back to St. Paul in Galatians. Born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law. Yes, Jesus was born to be our Redeemer. The laws of the Old Testament, complicated as they are, try to be, no Jew could keep property. Hence, the Old Testament had this sacrificial system to make sacrifice for their own sins, their failure. It is our course failure to the love of God and our neighbor. The law of sin and death. But Jesus, the infant born in Bethlehem, came into our world as our Redeemer, which we shall once again recognize as we celebrate the Eucharist this morning. This is again to the familiar words of the Eucharistic prayer. God, who in the person of Jesus gave himself for us on the cross, we invite the same back there in our second carol today. So that we might receive adoption as children. later in this service. Now, the New Testament was written then in what is known as Koine Greek. It was written in the 16th century English, as some people seem to think. No, Koine Greek, which was the lingua franca of the Eastern Mediterranean in the 1st century AD. Jesus probably understood that language, but his normal language of speech was Aramaic, as it probably was also for St. Paul. And in fact, in the Gospels, you'll find a few Aramaic phrases different. The Gospel writer never wanted to translate into Koine Greek, he left the Aramaic. And here we have the Aramaic. We can call it down, Paul writes it, so if you can call God, Abba. Nothing to do with my language of Swedish pop, no, but rather it is Aramaic for the informal address of a father. The best translation of English, of course, is Dad. It's the informal address to a loved father. And that is the relationship which can be ours when we acknowledge that the infant born in Bethlehem, we acknowledge him as our Redeemer and our Savior. It's an invitation to a close, personal, intimate relationship with God as his children. At least no one on the penultimate page. Checking if it says no what page is in the document. A final thought from those four verses of Galatians chapter 4. When the fullness of time had come, or as it's translated sometimes, when the time had fully come, or more of a paraphrase in some translations, when the right time had come. What's the next word? God. The first thing has happened at the right time. God's. For Jesus would have born into a relatively stable Roman world. There were easy communications, Roman roads, and it resulted in the very rapid spread of the Christian gospel through the then known world in the first centuries after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Yes, Jesus was born at the right time. Yet how often do we get frustrated because certain things don't happen when we want them to happen? We get impatient. You know, why doesn't God answer or do what we want? Why doesn't God make something we desire? At the end of an old year, it's the last day of the year, and the beginning tomorrow of a new one, it is good to remind ourselves that God is good. And our time is in his hands. And I said, sit in his hands. In the fullness of time, the right time will come, but that will come in God's time and not in ours. In the name of God, we bid upon the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Get the music.